It's the Infectious Groove Podcast, part of the Odd Pods Media Network, recorded from Detroit, Michigan and Jacksonville, Florida. The Infectious Groove Podcast is your source for jammy jams, album reviews, and the best in-depth music discussion. Thanks for joining us. Now here are your hosts.
Hey, 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 it is Russ, and it's time to get the Infectious Groove Podcast going. And actually, this week on the episode, I have someone pinch-hitting altogether from a different podcast, and you may recognize her voice from the intro to the show. This week on the show, Lauren from the Beard Al Podcast is stepping in to help us out. Welcome, Lauren.
Hello.
This is your first appearance on the show.
It is, I mean, other than the beginning.
And I've done how many appearances on your show?
Four.
And this is your first appearance on ours.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fair.
That's not fair. And that's going to come up in the second half of the episode. This is going to be relevant later.
Yeah.
We are foreshadowing.
Ooh.
So the main topic of discussion this week, actually, if you are a longtime listener of the show, you know that in the first half of the show, we always do our feedback and we share our jammy jams. Then we take a break. And in the second half of the show, we usually have something huge and music related to discuss. And in the second half of this episode, we are actually going to have an update for the listeners of the Infectious Groove Podcast on what's going on behind the scenes here. And before, I don't want to do too much bad foreshadowing or anything. Overall, this is not a bad thing at all. There's no relationship issues between me, Kyle, and Michelle. There's just some things going on that I need to update the community on and the listener base, which has been very loyal so far. So I actually spoke to Kyle and Michelle about it tonight, and you know, we all decided that it was best if we put out an episode kind of updating everybody on what's going to happen with the show going forward. The show is not going anywhere, and we are going to continue doing everything the best that we can for the time being. And again, there's going to be more information in the second half of this episode as far as what's going to happen in the immediate future and what our long-term plans are, because we greatly appreciate the listener base that we've cultivated. I'm speaking, everything I'm going to say is on behalf of Michelle and Kyle. So when I say that we appreciate the listener base that we've cultivated, I am speaking for all three of us when I say that. And they have some things going on that we'll get into later. So what I am going to do, though, is go through some of the feedback that we've had from the last couple of episodes. So we'll get into that right now.
Feedback, Joe.
Don't worry about that. Right. There's rock and roll be without feedback.
By way of feedback, we have a bunch of really, really good feedback this week that came in from all sorts of episodes that we've done recently. And first up, the first person to respond to us this week was Jamie Porter, and he was talking about our episode last week on Is Rock Dead or Dying? He says, great episode as always. I hope Michelle enjoyed her extra day off. I have thoughts. Surprise, surprise. First is the notion of any genre of music being dead with the invention of recording is ludicrous. If Elvis or Little Richard is what you consider rock, then there it's still there to listen to. If what you started on is Nirvana, then rock on. It's all still there. It's true that not many new acts are doing typical blues-based rock and roll anymore, but so what? I can still listen to the recordings that did it so well. Also, there will be the resurgence of that kind of music for sure. If we had a resurgence of Gregorian chants and swing music, we can get there from rock and roll too, which is, that's a fantastic point. We have, in the meantime, we have 5 decades of recorded rock and roll to love. And what's available now will always be heroes bucking the trends, and that's of what's current. If Stevie Ray Vaughan could be successful playing 12 bar blues in the age of disco and synth, then why not someone else too? Lastly, to speak on new rock, the problem that I see is the algorithm cannot create music for you. The art of the DJ on the radio blurring lines between genres is going away, and that's a huge issue. You need a real person with ears and taste to help navigate and filter through the vast quantities of music to find what's good. I wish I had time to, but that's why I have you guys. Thanks for doing the Lord's work.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so that's a great piece of feedback, and I really can't disagree with anything.
No, I mean, that's a really good point, especially the part about the algorithm doing it for you, because, I mean, I'm guilty of relying on the algorithm, and mm-hmm. I'm very much in my own music bubble, so I don't listen outside too much of the stuff that I like. So that's an awesome point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then that too about where we're at now with like everything being controlled by AI and whatnot, and that not substituting for a human. I firmly believe somebody's going to figure that out eventually.
Yeah.
And Kyle and I touched on that on last week's episode too, some about Kyle himself is like dead set against any sort of establishment, really. And especially like when it comes to the music industry. But I got him to admit on the show that like maybe we do need A&R guys, like the guys who like go out and find mm-hmm. you know, the talent and put it forward. So Detention writes in and says, I feel like the whole Rock is Dead argument stems a lot from what the top 40 is playing. 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, you had rock in the top 40, meaning it was somewhat popular. Now the top 40 is mainly pop and dance hits, and most rock enthusiasts take that as a slight. Then they decide that rock is dead, only because of the current fallout of favor of the general public. Rock is not dead. You just got to actively look for it now. And I mean, I live with you, but yeah. You hear me say that all the time.
I do.
You absolutely do. You have to go out and find it. But now to James Porter's point, though, like some people don't have the time or energy to go and do that. And I gave a shout out to our friends at the Itch Rocks last week. Like there's the Itch Rocks. I see podcasts all the time that all they do is talk about bands. And this is music snobbish of me to say, but if your podcast is going, hey, there's this new exciting rock band and we have an interview with them, and I look at the name of the band and I'm like, I've never heard that before, like, good on you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you're putting stuff out there that I haven't even heard.
Yeah.
And I listen to every damn thing.
Yeah. Have you seen the hashtag New Music Friday?
Yes.
So, I mean, like, that's an awesome thing, and that's not all pop. Like, follow that.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Hart writes in and says, like usual, this was a great episode. Don't tell Michelle, but I missed her contributions. I fight this battle internally often. For starters, I am lazy. I don't have any desire to dig around the internet to find things these days. There's enough music that I do enjoy that I'm usually good in terms of options. On top of that, I'll drop the needle on an album I haven't heard in years or even decades in some cases. It's like hearing some of the album tracks for the first time all over again. Discovering new music doesn't have to be, and he says in quotes, new music. And holy cow, I couldn't agree with that more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even not, to, and I promise, this episode is very off the cuff, by the way, listeners. I promise what I'm about to say was in no way planned. But Lauren's been helping out a lot on our YouTube channel lately. And Elton, ELO, and Billy Joel alone, you've picked out cuts that I've never heard. And I'm a fan of those three artists. Yeah. And that it's all new to me music. You know, so, and then even that ELO video that you did, I didn't expect to get the number of views that it has, and people are going nuts in the comments on that video.
Me either. People really like ELO, apparently.
Right. So, which is awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. The Queer Defense Squad is Seth's program, and he writes into the show quite often. And it doesn't matter to me where we get feedback from Seth. I love all feedback that
Seth
we get
from
Seth.
Seth is the coolest.
And he, feedback of the year. Here for the last episode featuring just Kyle and I. Queer Defense Squad says, I have to say this is one of my all-time favorite episodes. Michelle was great. Keep up the great work.
Hey, Seth, maybe you'll really like this episode.
Yeah. No kidding. Two more pieces of feedback, and these are lengthy, but I really think there are some really good points. Anthony, Taylor's version, who is always listening and always very supportive on Twitter, wrote us back over a couple of the last episodes that we did. So he said, I love the epic cover battle for Hurt, Johnny Cash versus Nine Inch Nails. Johnny Cash's version is pure gold, in my opinion. Personally, for me, Reznor's original would still be my pick overall, which I was stunned on that episode that all three of us picked the original mm-hmm. over. I thought for sure I was going to be on an island on that, but we all three managed to pick the original. So go, Anthony. Trent really hits more on the emotional range of the song, starting off quiet and eventually crescendoing into his louder vocals toward the end. Although I would recommend Cash's version to others. The album review episode for Amigo the Devil, Everything is Fine, is an interesting album. Folk is really not a genre I'm heavily into. However, this record is really good. There's not a single skip on it, in my opinion. Music is mood-based for me, and on many occasions, depending on my mood, determines what I choose to listen to. This album would be one I would definitely have to be in the mood to hear. And I said that, too, about the review. I was mm-hmm. like, you know, the thing was like, would you buy this? And I was like, yeah, but I got to be in the mood to hear this record. That said, there's some tracks I really enjoyed that would be favorites, which include Preacher Feature, Hell and You, Hungover in Jonestown, and Everybody Gets Left Behind. I would give the album a strong 8. In regards to your latest episode on the age-old discussion of whether rock is dead or not, far from it. Yes, I will admit I have made the comments to friends in past, like, oh, they don't make music like they used to. But honestly, there's still great rock music out there. Like y'all mentioned, you just have to sort through the not-so-good ones. I've been coming across a ton of great new artists. The Warning, Dorothy, Greta Van Fleet, Eva Under Fire, and Hailstorm, and I could go on and on. Even metal veterans like Seven Dust that I feel are overlooked now are still cranking out really good albums. I've never really understood why the topic comes up. Yes, everyone has music they grew up on. For them, that defines the generational terms, but and for me, it's the 80s. Doesn't mean that's where great music stops, though. I think many people get too closed-minded, whether they know it or not, when it comes to many up-and-coming artists. That's an unfair comparison. Music should be fun, not dissected to the bone like many people get. Almost feels like they're diagramming a paragraph in an English class. People take it too far and way too seriously sometimes, if that makes sense. And I do agree with that. That's why we try and keep the tone of this show light. Like, even when we do album reviews, the way we do it is far more light and having fun with it, I think. I actually, when we started doing album reviews on the show, I started second-guessing myself and feeling like, I wonder if we probably should go more in-depth on things, right? But the audience has made it clear to us that, like, they don't want things talked to death, you know?
Yeah.
And what a song or an album means to me or Michelle or Kyle or anybody else could mean a million things to other people. So if I'm just going to sit here on the show and say, you know, no, this is scored because I perceive it this way isn't really useful to anybody.
Right. I mean, we learned that from, you know, my show, the Beard Doll Podcast, you know, where I rank album tracks
right, and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, everybody's opinion is different. And that's always, you know, an interesting
thing. Yeah, I went on your show and got a lot of hate for my ranking of a particular Weird Al song.
You did, and I'm sorry.
Notorious MN1992, which is our friend Mohammad Reza from Iran, writes in and says, I loved your discussion last week. Actually, one of my biggest pet peeves is that no artist makes rock music the way it used to be anymore. I wasn't even born in the 80s, but my favorite rock songs and the ones that I can listen to over and over again are from the 80s. I agree with you both that rock is not dead, but the type of rock that we used to love, I think, is dead. At least I haven't heard it in a really long time. And don't get me wrong, I know there's some really great artists. For example, there's a rock band from 2010 to 2016 called the Gaslight Anthem from New Jersey. And in my opinion, they were so good. I recommend that you listen to all their songs, especially 45. I wanted to tell you that I'm a big fan of every genre, rock, rap, country. If I like it, then I listen to it. And you said rock's not dead. It's just not at the forefront anymore. Every time I download the top 40 songs, 90% of them are garbage rap. And the funny thing is the good songs that are usually the last songs on the chart. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but let's call it what it is. And lastly, I disagree that there is only one genre of rock. For example, my brother listens to Slipknot, but when he played some of their songs for me, I immediately told him that's very different than what I listen to. So if you ask me, there should be different types of genres in rock and not too many. Keep it simple. Sorry for the long message, but I loved very much the topic. I couldn't help myself. Best of luck. And I always say this to everybody, like we do. Before we went on air, I showed Lauren. She was like, holy crap, everybody wrote novels. And I love that. Like, I love that what we have to say even makes people think enough about us to want to write in. Mm-hmm. That much. And it is a nuanced discussion, the whole is rock dead thing. And what I like is that even the loyal listeners of the show all had different things to say, but in a respectful way, instead of just being like, no, you're wrong.
Right.
You know, yeah, which is what we're looking to cultivate in our listener base. We are going to move right along to our next segment that we always do, our Jammy Jams. Our Jammy. For me this week, I got two artists that I don't think are anything alike, but they're just people that have been stuck in my head all week. And one is the first two George Ezra albums I recently revisited, and I love both of those albums so much. And he does have new material out. I actually am a bad fan, don't even know if the whole record's out. I just know that he had for sure a single out at least, and I've heard good things about it. I just haven't made time to listen to it yet, because George Ezra is one of those guys that, at least for me, I take his lyrics to be so deep that I really like to dig into more than just the melody. And that's all, like, I need to be, at the risk of sounding pretentious, I need to be like prepared to take in a George Ezra record.
I get that.
And I learned that on the first one. I was like, whoa, there's so much more going on here. And then the other Jammy Jam for me this week, which is awesome, is Buddy Holly's been stuck in my head a lot. And like everything from Peggy Sue to Every Day, just the production on those songs is great. And it could even stem from the Elvis movie and just being kind of listening to all that type of music. I mean, I listen to Elvis all the time, but really like the way that the movie portrayed the era could have been how Buddy Holly got in my head. Who's to say how it happened? So those are my Jammy Jams. What have you been listening to besides Weird Al, Lauren?
Okay. Yeah. No, definitely besides Weird Al. So like we have a playlist that we listen to in the car, but like every time I've gotten in the car by myself, I have not listened to that playlist And I've been going right to, huge surprise, this is Electric Light Orchestra playlist that Spotify kind of makes for you.
Oh, right on.
And what's interesting is I usually skip the tracks that are from ELO's last like proper album as like a group together, Balance of Power from 1986. I believe. Right. Don't come at me for that if I'm wrong, but I think it's 1986. And there's a song called Getting to the Point that I never paid attention to because I've always just kind of listened to Calling America or So Serious, which are like the singles from that album.
Right.
But Getting to the Point, it's a slower, it's a ballad. And I was just like, man, this song is, it's super deep. And every time that track comes on, I've just kind of like turned it up a little bit and just really enjoyed it. And it's ELO at their like 80s best, where like there's no strings. It's just kind of them. So it's not really the Electric Light Orchestra anymore. It's like, right, the Electric Light Band.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I see what you mean. So that ELO deep cut,
yeah,
is pretty much your big deal.
My big deal this week.
That's cool. We are going to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to end the mystery of everything. Hopefully people listened to this half of the episode and didn't just skip through to the end to get to the second half. And I'll let everybody know what's going on and what our plan is going forward. You're listening to the Infectious Groove Podcast on the iPods Media Network.
I'm Richie, a.k.a. Midnight Agent Raw.
I'm Devin, a.k.a. Special Delivery Dev.
We're the Super Media Bros Podcast. And each week, we give a comedically informative take on movies,
music,
television,
pro wrestling,
and much more. Check us out at supermediabrospodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can listen to podcasts. Shades on.
We're off.
Hi, I'm Shannon.
I'm Jamie.
We're Married with Television, marriedwithtv.com. We are a couple of Hollywood normies on the outskirts of the film and TV industry, and we talk about our favorite TV shows, music, and movies, and sometimes they talk back to us.
Sometimes they do.
Our podcast is Married with Television, one word, on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and SoundCloud.
Possibly Amazon soon. And we are a proud member of the Odd Pods Media Network.
Married with TV!
MarriedwithTV.com!
Welcome back. In the interest of full disclosure, I'm going to tell you a couple of things right at the start of the second half of this episode. Number one, the second half of this episode is being recorded about 3 days after the first half of this episode that everybody just heard. And the reason for that is because myself and Kyle and Michelle have been trying to work through some ideas and ways that we can make sure to continue to bring the best version of the show that we can to everybody every week. Second of all, if my voice sounds different than it usually does, it's because of scheduling and life getting in the way and what a hectic couple of days it's been this week. I'm recording this half of the episode at about 6 a.m, so I probably sound a little bit different than everyone is used to. I do have a lot of things to talk about and updates to bring all of the listeners to the show, but I'm not going to bury the headline. The good news is the reason why this episode is so disjointed and the second half is so different from the first is because we have come up with a solution and a good way to go forward that the three of us think that will work best for where we're all at right now. So I don't want anybody to go into this very worried or concerned with what's going on. And, you know, I certainly don't mean to sound in any way pretentious, like the world is waiting for our decision or anything along those lines. But this show is very important to all three of us. We've all been friends for a very long time. I've, you know, talked about this on the show before. Michelle's one of my favorite people on planet Earth. And I just don't want anyone thinking that there's some sort of dramatics or problems or anything like that going on within the three of us. And we've all been literally thinking through throwing out ideas and just trying to do our best to help each other figure out what we can do to keep the show going in a way that everybody expects and what we feel is a quality level that we've wanted to live up to. So longtime listeners of the show, which we're grateful for, we've cultivated a really, really loyal listenership, which we're very, very proud of, in and out of the podcasting community. And if you're a podcaster and you listen to our show, you know that the best laid plans for podcasting, sometimes life just gets in the way of. And if you're not in the podcasting community and you've listened to our show for any length of time, you know that, you know, Michelle and I are best friends and have been for years. Kyle is a newer friend of mine because of his relationship with Michelle and coming into our lives. And the two of them are, in fact, a couple who have a beautiful family. And we've joked about it on the show before, but they have many, many animals. And just about a year ago, they welcomed a beautiful baby girl into their lives. And they are making their way through the hurdles and ups and downs of having a beautiful baby girl in their lives. So for a little bit there, it was looking like it was getting to where we just weren't going to be able to schedule the show the way that we wanted to do it, all three of us. And we had one plan in place when I did the first half of this episode as far as how we were going to continue the show. And really, all three of us weren't overly happy with that plan, but it was what we thought was the best resolve at first. So again, we've all been talking about it furiously for the past several days, and we came up with what we think is the best solution that's going to occur in order to keep doing the show the best way that we know for the time being, with the end game being eventually getting back to the show the way that the loyal listener base that we have cultivated is used to. So what we're going to do with everything that is happening in really all three of our lives for on different levels is going forward, we are going to have to split up Kyle and Michelle for show purposes only and rotate through them every week. So basically, if all things work according to our current plan, I will be here for you every week. And then basically the show will be myself and Michelle 1 week, myself and Kyle the next, back to Michelle, and so on. However, there's some good news, like unwanted side effect or unwanted benefit, I guess, of this that is going to come forward for both the listeners who are not part of the podcast community and podcasters who listen to our show. I think both are going to benefit from this. If you notice, over the years, I have always said, I did a guest spot on this other show or whatnot. I've mentioned that several times. And we, unfortunately, have never really been able to work out having other podcasters on the show with us. And that is a fault of all three of us. Like I mentioned earlier, Kyle and Michelle with everything going on in their lives and myself as well, without getting into it too personal of a detail, all three of us have just had a lot going on outside of the show, which again, indie podcasters know that happens. And we, in this case, I mean me, have really failed to ever be able to get other podcasters involved in our show because I just haven't been able to line up any sort of scheduling for myself or Kyle and Michelle or other podcasters and whatnot. So, and again, this is part of what we were talking about over the case of several days. So what we're going to do, rotating through Michelle and Kyle allows us to set like a day and a time that every week we're going to sit down to record the show. So Kyle will be tending to everything going on at the house at this certain day and time while Michelle and I are able to record the show, vice versa. Michelle will be taking care of everything while, Kyle and I are sitting down at a certain day and time. What that allows us to do is bring in a third chair for each episode from the amazing roster of podcasters that we have cultivated relationships with over the years, just within the Odd Pods Media Network and certainly without. There are a ton of excellent podcast hosts. If you look at our Twitter account, they're constantly interacting with us and giving us some of the best feedback that we get. So what I'm going to do, and if you are a podcaster who listens to the show and for years now have said, man, I wish they'd have other people on. Like, I would love to go on that show or whatever else. Well, it's time to take the bat off your shoulder because you are going to be called up and help us out. And I don't mean to sound like I'm taking that for granted. We love the fact. I for years, every time I've talked to another podcaster, I've been like, oh my God, I wish I was better at scheduling or we could get a set thing going because I'd love to have all these people on. So, now's the time. So what we're going to do
going forward is basically we're going to rotate through our same topics that you're used to. We're going to have our album reviews, our totally epic cover battles, the regular music and discussion stuff. I'll be with you every week, but Michelle and Kyle are going to rotate. And this is for the time being too. And there's going to be some weeks where both of them are going to be able to be on the show for sure. There's going to be some weeks where neither of them are going to be able to be on the show. You know, vacations, whatever. Things are going to happen. But we're going to do our best to bring the best version of the show that we can to you every single week. And so in a perfect world, what's going to occur is, you know, I'll be here. We'll rotate through the two of them. And on top of that, of course, bringing in remotely some of the best talent I know of in podcasting to help us with it. And longtime listeners of the show who are podcasters who already know what the listeners are used to. The feedback section, our jammy jams, the main topics, all that stuff. So we'll be doing the exact show that you're used to. Just going to be a little bit different as far as who's here each week. And as a bonus to those who are not in the podcast community, you're going to get to hear some people who, to me, are as good or far better than what we do here at the show every single week. So you might even hear some new personalities that you love a great deal. And there's going to be weeks where it's not going to work out at all, where we won't be able to bring in any extra talent from the large pool of podcasters, and it'll end up being, you know, just me and Michelle or just me and Kyle and so on. But we will do our absolute best to bring you the best version of this show that we can every single week. One last thing I want to touch on, and again, this is odd to be talking about this, but it certainly is a real thing. It's very true that for people inside the podcast community, like if you ever put out any sort of content, these type of episodes can sound very different. Like update episodes can sound very different to people who are listeners and have never, you know, done content creation or anything, or have, you know, tried to like cultivate audience and loyalty from listeners and whatnot. So I do want to make clear, like, to podcasters or people within the content creation community, this is not any sort of pod drama like you hear about. There is no war going on here. You're not going to hear on our social media about how certain people won't do this or whatever. If you're a content creator, you know what I'm talking about. I'm giving you the honest truth, the straightforward version of this the way it is. I'm probably even telling people a little bit more than they need to know about our personal lives. But I want to make clear that this is absolutely just a life gets in the way scheduling issue. And we have done our best to work through it so far, and we're going to continue to do that. And then conversely, to the people who are listeners, I totally understand. I've never ever thought that this whole show is me or anything along those lines. Michelle has a army of fans that are out there on that regularly comment on all of our social media. Kyle, absolutely. People love the diversity of opinions and tastes that Kyle brings to the show. So I'm very aware that a lot of people are going to say, oh man, the magic of the show for me is all three of them. But what we would ask is that you please stick with us and know that we are going to do our best to bring you the best combination of fun and the closest that we can to the show that you're used to going forward. And, you know, just understand that we're all doing our best to do what we can to bring you the best version of the show every week. So there's no issues between the three of us. This is absolutely just a life gets in the way situation, and we're doing our best to work around it to continue to bring you the best version of the show that we can every week. So I feel like I've said the same thing a couple of different ways here now. And if anything, hopefully that just shows everybody how much the three of us care about this and how much thought and time and energy we've put into this. I'm sorry for how weird and disjointed this particular episode is. Hopefully everybody understands what's going on here and why it was important to us to get an update to everyone. So having said that, what we're going to do going forward is this week that this episode is being that you all are hearing this update episode, Michelle and I are going to sit down and we're going to continue doing our business the best way we know how, which means that Michelle will handle the next totally epic cover battle with me, which will be Lady Marmalade. the LaBelle version versus the version everyone knows from Moulin Rouge. So we're going to get that out for an episode next week. Then we're going to continue to rotate through the topics. And now we'll have the feature of rotating through our own co-hosts and some amazing talent within the podcast community. That is everything that we have up to current date, and by way of full disclosure, this episode that you're hearing is being finished up about, you know, I don't know, within 24 hours of everyone hearing it. So hopefully this news is still accurate and fresh by the time all the listeners hear it. And if you're on any of our social media, please go ahead and leave us a comment. Let us know what you think about this idea. And if you are in the podcast community and you have always said, oh man, I wish Russ would get his crap together and be able to schedule me to have me on the show, shoot me that DM. Probably Twitter is best for that, but whatever. You know how to get a hold of us, infectiousgrouppodcast.com. Anyway, that you can get a hold of us, or infectiousgrouppodcast@gmail.com. If you're a content creator in the community and you've always wanted to go on the show, now's your time. So that is all the news that's fit to print. We are going to do our absolute best for you going forward. But like we always say, without music, life would be a mistake. Bye.
The Infectious Groove Podcast is hosted by Russ Robinson, Kyle Wimple, and Michelle Casalecki. Produced and edited by Russ Robinson. Intro and outro music composed by Chris Kimmel. Recorded with a Rode Podcaster Pro and Rode Pod Mics.